upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News.
Welcome to Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, Editor-in-Chief, and today I'm going to present the first two articles in my 12 Days of Christmas series, that is days one and two. And I'm certain people are wondering, why am I doing the 12 Days of Christmas? Wasn't that a song? Well, actually it was, but I'm using that phrase now in relationship to the fact that there are 12 days before Christmas when I started this. And I wanted to take time to suspend my normal posting of articles from all around the world on Technocracy News and write a series of 12 articles myself that would stand alone and that would give me some opportunity to express the fundamental things that need to be stated about technocracy. There's a lot of confusion amongst readers around the world as to what technocracy really is. It has many different contexts depending on the local press, the local media, and what other people are writing about technocracy there. There are many things that are fundamental and foundational to technocracy. I want people to understand that. In my opinion, this is the clear and present danger that we face in America and around the world. And if people don't wake up to it pretty quickly, it's going to be too late. So on my first day one, the title is We Were Warned About Technocracy. And here's what I said. After having written two books on technocracy and reviewed over 230 important historical books, and posted almost 4,000 related stories on Technocracy News and Trends, there's a tendency to think that the subject is exhausted, but it is not. Almost every day, some new thing pops up that even surprises me, whether from industry, academia, or government. Historical tidbits constantly surface that show how analysts foresaw our current trajectory decades earlier. Modern scholars often write openly about technocracy and technocrats, especially in Europe or Asia, and yet America largely remains in the dark. As I present my findings in public forums, whether speaking or writing, I am constantly aware of some kind of invisible wall that keeps the message from being fully understood or propagated. For instance, I have sent dozens of review copies of books to key centers of influence around the country, but how many reviews have actually been published? Hardly any. I've presented to elected officials, attorneys, civic leaders, and scientists. How many have embraced any understanding of technocracy? Again, hardly any. However, for all the people who have confirmed their understanding and alarm of technocracy, I am fully convinced that the material is easy enough to understand for anyone who's willing to understand it. Apparently, most are not willing. In some cases, people are too distracted with other things to pay attention. In some cases, people turn a blind eye because they find themselves profiting off of some aspect of technocracy and don't want to upset their own apple cart. Whatever the case, America is largely missing the many siren calls for radical change in America. Here is a case in point. Dr. Parag Khanna, a leading global scholar promoting technocracy, speaks to elite groups all around the world. With bachelor's and master's degrees from the School of Foreign Service at Georgetown University and a PhD from the London School of Economics, Khanna has written several highly esteemed books on various aspects of globalization. In 2017, Khanna released a book with the very pointed title, Technocracy in America, Rise of the Infostate, endorsed by many prominent globalists. It laid out the global agenda of what is a direct technocracy and what it would look like in America. And this is what he stated, quote, "In America, direct technocracy would look like this. a collective presidency of about a half a dozen committee members backed by a strong civil service better able to juggle complex challenges, a multi-party legislature better reflective of the diversity of political views and using data technologies for real-time citizen consultation, and the Senate replaced by a governor's assembly that prioritizes the common needs of states and shares successful policies across them, and a judicial branch that monitors international benchmarks and standards and proposes constitutional amendments to keep pace with our rapidly changing times, close quote. How would we get to a direct technocracy? Connors states that, quote, it is time again for a new constitutional convention, and concludes that, quote, only utilitarian thinking can bring about another progressive era, close quote. Of course, Americans can ignore Khanna, but the global elite don't, because he is writing to their long-established goals of doing exactly what he proposes. Really? Abolish the Senate and give the Constitution to the Supreme Court? Have a committee of presidents? Adopt utilitarian thinking to promote progressivism? Well, this is not Marxism, socialism, or communism. It is technocracy. Everything else going on around us is a sideshow that provides nothing more than a convenient cover for those behind the curtain who are the real movers and shakers in the world. Well, that's day one. And I expect I'll be asking the question until day 12, when and how is America going to wake up to the threat of technocracy? It's been in our face for at least 40 years, and even increasingly so today, with people like Dr. Parag Khanna writing very pointed books about direct technocracy in America. And yes, the global elite love this guy. He's young, he's articulate, and he's extremely well-educated. His books are concise, well-reviewed. He speaks at global elite groups all over the world continuously. They listen to him. They're the ones that are pulling the levers of globalization right now. Day two, academic backing of technocracy. Dr. Francis Schaeffer was a historian, Christian philosopher, and one of the greatest thinkers of the last century. In episode 10, the final segment of his video series, How Should We Then Live?, he stated that society was falling into a moral abyss with no fixed absolutes to provide form and structure for living. To replace that necessary structure that would avoid utter societal chaos, he accurately and clearly recognized that such absolutes would be supplied by an increasingly authoritarian technocratic elite. And yes, Schaeffer actually did use the word technocratic. In other words, as people lost the ability to self-regulate their own life and behavior, someone or something would step into the vacuum and do it for them. A younger contemporary of Schaeffer was Zbigniew Brzezinski, who wrote Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era, when he was a political science professor at Columbia University in the late 1960s. Brzezinski was the polar opposite of Schaeffer in that he eschewed Christianity, Christian philosophy, and even the existence of God. However, Brzezinski came to virtually the same conclusion as Schaeffer, for entirely different reasons, of course, when he wrote, and I quote, such a society would be dominated by an elite whose claim to political power would rest on allegedly superior scientific know-how, unhindered by the restraints of traditional liberal values. This elite would not hesitate to achieve its political ends by using the latest modern techniques for influencing public behavior and keeping society under close surveillance and control. Under such circumstances, the scientific and technological momentum of the country would not be reversed, but would actually feed on the situation it exploits, close quote. Brzezinski further stated, and again I quote, persisting social crises, the emergence of a charismatic personality, and the exploitation of mass media to obtain public confidence would be the stepping stones in the piecemeal transformation of the United States into a highly controlled society, close quote. Since Schaefer was an avid thinker, he likely had read Brzezinski's work, but I can find no proof of that. He did, however, read Daniel Bell's seminal 1973 book, The Coming of Post-Industrial Society, A Venture in Social Forecasting. Bell had received his PhD in sociology from Columbia University in 1961 and was well acquainted with Brzezinski's work because he thoroughly critiqued it in his own book. There are two reasons that I bring up Bell. First, he was a self-professed apologist for technocracy. And second, Schaefer held up Bell's book towards the end of episode 10 and quoted from page 480. This is what he quoted. "The lack of a rooted moral belief system is the cultural contradiction of the society, the deepest challenge to its survival." Close quote. Bell was indeed a big thinker in the same vein as Brzezinski. Both were technocrats and both educated at Columbia University, where technocracy was originally conceived in 1932. Bell, however, was much more direct than Brzezinski when he wrote, quote, "The technocratic mode has become established because it is the mode of efficiency, of production, of program, of getting things done. For these reasons, the technocratic mode is bound to spread in our society." Close quote. That was from page 354 in his book. It was Bell who first popularized and developed the concept of the post-industrial society. He wrote, "Since the post-industrial society increases the importance of the technical component of knowledge, it forces the hierophants of the new society, the scientists, engineers, and technocrats, either to compete with politicians or become their allies." Bell's 489-page, quote, "essay in social forecasting," close quote, was the big picture of the future, ominously written in the very same year, that is 1973, that the Trilateral Commission was co-founded by Brzezinski and David Rockefeller. Now, I had cited Bell's works in both of my books on technocracy, but fell short in examining who or what might have stimulated him to write the book in the first place. This became my 2019 surprise as I picked up my own copy, that is the same edition that Schaefer referenced above, and read the preface more carefully. And this is what it said, quote, "My greatest debt institutionally is to the Russell Sage Foundation and its president, Orville Brehm. A grant from the foundation in 1967 at first released me from one-third of my teaching schedule at Columbia and allowed me to organize an experimental graduate seminar at Columbia on modes of forecasting. The foundation also subsidized my research in the next few years. In 1969 to 1970, I spent a sabbatical year as a visiting fellow at the foundation, where this book began to take shape." Close quote. Essentially, Bell was employed by the Russell Sage Foundation as he fleshed out his book. Well, the Russell Sage Foundation, launched in 1907, is one of the oldest foundations in America. It started as an ultra-progressive champion of social sciences and has been continuously connected to the most progressive elements of the global elite ever since. Its own website currently states, quote, "The Russell Sage Foundation is the principal American foundation devoted exclusively to research in the social sciences. Currently, the foundation dedicates itself exclusively to strengthening the methods, data, and theoretical core of the social sciences as a means of improving social policies." In other words, social engineering. Not surprisingly, the historical archives of the Russell Sage Foundation are housed at the Rockefeller Archive Center in New York. The academic support for modern technocracy is obvious and easily traced. The literature is pointed and definitive. That is, they all envisioned a technocratic elite rising to dominate populations. Given this vision, It is no surprise that the Trilateral Commission sprang forth in 1973 to, quote, make it so, with Captain Brzezinski at the helm as its first executive director. And so there you have it. Day one and day two of my 12 Days of Christmas series, I intend to dig further into the modern history of technocracy, those who backed it, those who have done things to bring it about, and the role of the United Nations in all of this as well. These are things that America needs to hear, and that's one of the big drivers for me to do this. It may not be as popular as some of the other articles that get posted on Technocracy News and Trends, but they are definitely things that America needs to hear and understand. I would ask you to share these articles with people that you know so that they can better understand what technocracy is all about. What's going on in Washington, D.C. these days, by the way, is merely just so much bread and so many circuses to distract the people from what's really going on in America. It's a shame that everybody, liberal, Democrat, and independents, and libertarians everywhere, are all focused on Washington, D.C. Will they or will they not impeach President Trump? Well, this really has nothing to do with technocracy. As we've seen, technocrats have operated just fine across all kinds of political spectrums. They are not Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or anything else for that matter. They're simply technocrats. Their religion is scientism, and they're perfectly happy to focus on making the world a more efficient place to live, but not necessarily a better place to live. In fact, if left unchecked, what's coming straight ahead is scientific dictatorship. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. I'll see you next time on days 3 and 4 of the 12 Days of Christmas.